and some sinews, while leaving them flexible enough so they could move their arms and legs. In fact, probably it'd be better to relax them a bit now and stiffen them properly when the time came. He suggested that Lankra expected everyone to do their duty. And, please. The silence that followed was broken by Nanny Ogg, who said, "They're probably considering it a bit, Sean. Why don't you take Mr. Wizardeer up to his room and help him with his crossbow?" She nodded meaningfully in the direction of the stairs. Sean wavered, but not for long. He'd seen the glint in his mother's eyes. When he'd gone, Nanny climbed up on the same table. "Well," she said, "it's like this. If you go out there, you may have to face elves. But if you stops here, you definitely have to face me. Now, elves is worse than me, I'll admit. But I'm persistent." Weaver put up a tentative hand.
"Please, Mrs. Ogg."
"Yes, Weaver.
What exactly is the action of the reciprocating fox?"
Nanny scratched her ear.
"As I recall," she said, "its back legs go like this, but its front legs go like this."
"No, no, no," said Quorny, the storekeeper. It's tail that goes like that. Its legs go like this."
"That's not reciprocating, that's just oscillating," said someone. "You're thinking of the ring-tailed ocelot."
Nanny nodded.
"That's settled, then," she said.
"Hold on, I'm not sure."
"Yes, Mr. Quorny?"
"Oh, well."
"Good, good," said Nanny, as Sean reappeared. "They was just saying, our Sean, how they were swayed by your speech. Really psyched up.
Cure!
They're ready to follow you into the jaws of hell itself, I expect," said Nanny.
Someone put up their hand.
"Are you coming too, Mrs. Ogg?"
I'll just stroll along behind," said Nanny.
"Oh, well, maybe as far as the jaws of hell, then."
"Amazing," said Casanunda to Nanny, as the crowd filed reluctantly towards the armoury.
"You just got to know how to deal with people.
They'll follow where an Ogg leads."
"Not exactly," said Nanny. "But if they know what's good for 'em, they'll go where an Ogg follows."
Magrat stepped out from under the trees, and the moorland lay ahead of her. A whirlpool of cloud swirled over the dancers, or at least over the place where the dancers had been. She could make out one or two stones by the flickering light, lying on their side or rolled down the slope of the hill. The hill itself glowed. Something was wrong with the landscape. It curved where it shouldn't curve. Distances weren't right. Magrat remembered a woodcut shoved in as a place marker in one of her old books. It showed the face of an old crone, but if you stared at it, you saw it was also the head of a young woman. A nose became a neck, an eyebrow became a necklace. The images seesawed back and forth, and like everyone else, she'd squinted herself silly trying to see them both at the same time. The landscape was doing pretty much the same thing. What was a hill was also, at the same time, a vast, snowbound panorama. Lankra and the Land of the Elves were trying to occupy the same space. The intrusive country wasn't having it all its own way. Lankra was fighting back. There was a circle of tents just on the cusp of the warring landscapes, like a beachhead on an alien shore. They were brightly coloured. Everything about the elves was beautiful, until the image tilted and you saw it from the other side. Something was happening. Several elves were on horseback, and more horses were being led between the tents. It looked as though they were breaking camp. The queen sat on a makeshift throne in her tent. She sat with her elbow resting on one arm of the throne and her fingers curling pensively around her mouth. There were other elves seated in a semicircle, except that seated was a barely satisfactory word. They lounged. Elves could make themselves at home on a wire. And here there was more lace and velvet and fewer feathers. Although it was hard to know if it meant that these were aristocrats, elves seemed to wear whatever they felt like wearing, confident of looking absolutely stunning. The monks of Kool, whose tiny and exclusive monastery is hidden in a really cool and laid-back valley in the lower ramtops, have a passing-out test for a novice. He is taken into a room full of all types of clothing and asked, "Yo, my son, which of these is the most stylish thing to wear?" And the correct answer is, "Hey, whatever I select." Cool, but not necessarily up to date. Every one of them watched the queen and was a mirror of her moods. When she smiled, they smiled.